Welcome to Punta Vista Socialist Club, bonus episode number 4. I'm Andrew, and I'm back here with Ben.
Hello.
And we still have with us our wonderful guest, Eliza.
Hi.
And still dead is Lucy.
Oh.
Still unable to solve her technical issues in the face of rampant misogyny.
She is eating the router piece by piece.
Yes. Yes. I blame Lucy's mother's tech setup.
Yes.
Take that, Lucy's mum. Sort your tech out.
Yeah.
Sort your tech out, Lucy's mum. Come on. Get shit together. So, we're here with Eliza for a bunch of questions from our mailbag, from our patrons, our sweet, sweet, beautiful patrons, and even some questions from the scum that are not patrons.
Ugh. Disgusting.
But don't worry, because if they're not patrons, they won't get to hear the answers to their questions.
Please don't tell them that we said this. Don't tell them. Jokes on you.
Joke's on you. No, it's okay. I'm going to individually message each of them and say that we are holding their answer hostage. And if they would like to claim it, they know where to find it.
They can pony up.
That's right.
So, first question we had from our good friend, Tim Lyons, friend of the show, and patron, Tim Lyons. His question is, long time, first time, etc. My question for the panel is, what would the topic of your TED Talk be? And I can say now that if Lucy was here, hers would be why White Chicks by the Wayans Brothers is the peak of contemporary art and we should all stop producing art now. And my TED Talk would be a counter to Lucy's TED Talk about why she is wrong and why it is, in fact, Little Man by the Wayans Brothers that is the peak of contemporary art and we should all stop making art now.
Both
you are
strong
both
positions.
Fucking wrong. You are both wrong. It's Pootie Tang.
Oh, I love Pootie Tang.
It's
so
Pootie
much.
Tang. I saw Pootie Tang for the first time like 2 days ago, and I immediately became retroactively furious at everyone I have ever known who has not shown me that movie.
Sadate.
Yeah.
It's so good. I love the whole made up language of Pootie.
It's brilliant. Extremely good. It's internally consistent, right? Like, linguistically, it is completely sound. I loved it.
Well, what I love about the language is it kind of gives me the vibe of, like, you know how if you're watching a movie that is in a language that you do not understand, and you have the subtitles on, and after you've been, you know, when you're into it a bit, your brain just transposes the tone with which they are speaking to the words that you are seeing.
Yeah.
You know?
Hell yeah.
And that's kind of just what I get from when Pootie Tang speaks, you know?
That's why it's so brilliant.
You don't have the subtitles on, but you get the vibe of what he's saying about whatever it is.
Absolutely.
It's perfect.
Absolutely.
Is your TED Talk going to be about Pootie Tang?
I actually don't think I'm qualified to talk about Pootie Tang as a white person. I just wanted to express my admiration. My TED Talk would be probably something like really snobby about the allegory of the shadows on the cave wall and how we can apply that to modern cartooning and how it manifests in cave painting, which was probably done mostly by women and or very young people, judging by the anatomical traces that they left behind. So I think that there's just a lot of stuff about prehistoric art that is still super relevant and that nobody knows, because it's just like, yeah, cave paintings exist, and that's sort of that is like the sum total of the knowledge, contemporary knowledge of cave paintings.
Well, I assume that people take it also as kind of being the absolute default state of art and expression, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like the complete bare minimum that you could be doing with something and that everything after that is an expansion on it.
Right. I mean, and the famous anecdote about that is that Picasso went to, I don't know if it was Chauvet or one of the other caves. Let's just say it was Chauvet. He goes in, he looks around, he sees the cave paintings, he comes back out, and he says, "We know nothing. We know absolutely nothing." And I think parenthetically, he meant just like artists have not developed past this point. Like that is the highest point of art that we're going to get to, and everything we've done since then is just not going to get any better. And I kind of agree with him, and it's not it that is not an indictment of art as it stands. It's just
no more art. Got it.
No art. I am anti-art. No fun either.
Mm.
I hate art and fun. But it, no, it's I think that cave paintings and particularly like all prehistoric art is treated with way too much reverence. Everyone's like, this is a ritual object, clearly, which was used for sacrifices. And it's bullshit because that's not everything that you dig out of a garbage dump is going to be a statue of the Virgin Mary. That is statistically unsound.
Mm.
It is a stupid assertion to make. So I want people to know about prehistoric art, and I want them to understand that those were doodles, and they were graffiti, and they were shit that people whittled while they were sitting around waiting for a deer to walk by. Because that is what artists do now. Like, the majority of shit that artists do all day, and the vast majority of our output is just, there's no reason for it. People are like, why'd you draw that? And you're like, And I think that that aspect of context is basically completely missing from archaeology and anthropology, and I hate it. I want people to understand how similar we were to those people, some of whom were not even the same species as we are. Like, Neanderthals made art and had all sorts of, like, weird cosmetic stuff that, you know, they just left lying around in their caves. And it's just not a big mystery to me. You know, I don't think we need to obfuscate that at all. So anyway, that would be my TED Talk, the slideshow and everything.
How about you, Ben?
I think I'd just ask everyone in the room for $10.
Yeah.
Just like, just a good 7 to 9 minutes of being like, here are some things that I can't afford. You look like a well-to-do fellow. Give me $10.
You open it up like one of those, you know, like a magic show or like it's going to be some kind of thought experiment. Now just stand with me for a second.
Imagine
you have $10 on you.
Imagine, if you will, a man who doesn't have $10.
Yes.
Now imagine you have $10.
You can change the world here today.
You can change one man's life, and that man is right here.
What if I told you that man was here today?
And his wallet was as empty as the Nullarbor.
And then you do like this with the over the shoulder slide change. You're like, next slide, please. As you can see.
And it's just a picture of me standing in the same pose doing the throwing over the shoulder.
Yes.
As you can see here, I could do with another $10. Sir, in the audience. So we have a question here. Well, actually, it's not a question. It's just a statement.
Ooh.
From friend of the show, Bede, at BeadRunner on Twitter. Eliza, not a question, but your tweet about bleeding cuticles made me realize I should manicure heaps more, and it's a good life change. Thank you very much.
thank you. Okay. That's very nice. I like hearing that I have inspired hygiene in other human beings, and possibly bloodletting. Both of those things.
Well, just better nail bed health around the world, you know?
Yep.
So that's good. You've improved a life here today, which is very nice.
Thanks for the question.
We have a question for Ben from, I don't know if I'm saying this right, Alex Watts?
I believe that is pronounced that way, yeah.
Yep. Friend of the show, Alex Watts.
Dear friend of the show, father of the
Here's
show.
A question. Father of the show. For Ben, it's Sunday in Sydney. Is it still 1976 in Brisbane? Thanks.
Ha ha ha. Ha 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 ha.
Holy shit!
Oh, ha ha ha. Oh, we all
Did
like
you
to have a laugh,
don't you get dunked
on
by your own dad?
It's unbelievable. Well, I would just like to say to our dear friend, Alex Watts, I would like to remind him of something that happened on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Did he give you $10?
I wish that he did. It's called a 22-6 victory over the Blues in the third game of Origin 2017, making it 3 in a row for us. And 10 out of 11 games in the last 11 years. Fuck you, Alex.
This is an interstate sports contest.
Well, that's not really a contest.
Well, a long time rivalry.
Well, it's not even really a rivalry because we win consistently nearly every single time.
Yeah, well, that's true. There's multiple kinds of like Australian specific football. This one is rugby league.
The good one.
Two walls of muscular, thick-set gentlemen just crash into each other.
Oh, I mean, like, they're athletes. It's
like oceans pointed at one another.
That's a fucking sport.
Mm. It's the kind of thing where if gridiron players did it, they would die because they are just dudes running into each other, full pelt, all the shape of fridges, and they do not wear any gear of any kind.
Oh, I mean, that's not fair. We have some people that are roughly the shape of a bar fridge.
Yeah, that's fair. So it is similar in its own way to America's World Series of Baseball, where only America is invited to participate.
Yeah, fuck you.
That's yeah, pretty much
so. So Australia has the State of Origin, which is this ongoing yearly competition between football players from Queensland and football players from New South Wales.
Widely recognised as the highest level, highest performing game of rugby in the world, that series. World recognized.
Do any other countries in the world? Do any other countries in the world play rugby league, Ben?
England, France. That's about it.
Do they, or do they play rugby union?
They play rugby. No, I'm talking a cross code rugby. This is the highest level of rugby in the world.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Highest level of rugby, like most injuries, or largest men, or
like the Olympics is the highest level of a sport.
Yeah, it's the. Best performing athletes in this sport played.
Yes.
Playing at their very best.
All right.
It's New South Wales losing nearly every time.
So take that, Alex.
Yeah, take that, you lovely man who's done a series of wonderful things for me in the past and is a very good friend of me. Eat shit, you turd.
Yep. You heard the man. All right, we got another question here for Eliza from friend of the show, Egon Muscler.
Hi, Egon.
I'm going to assume that's not your real name, Egon. And if it is, my condolences.
Wow.
For Eliza, who do you consider to be the most egregious gronk in the Bunta Vista Socialist Club?
Wow.
Can someone define gronk?
Ben?
I've tried to do this in the past. It's a hard word. A gronk is someone that's deeply cooked, if that helps at all.
A little.
A little.
It's like a specific kind of being not completely correct in your brain. A grunk is someone that's... they're a weird unit. Does that help?
I like that it's just getting more and more Australian as it goes. Yes, a completely cooked unit.
Largely used... I guess it's used a lot as a political insult. All of our conservative commentators are gronks. in that they just have an absurd level of confidence in the insane way that they do things.
Mm. When in fact they are a pack of galahs.
They are. Bloody oath.
You know, I'm going to go with Andrew on this because I think despite being one of the least shrill members of Vista Vista, His calm is deceptive, you know. Mm. I think that the still waters run weird. I think he's got to be hiding something, you know.
You're absolutely right.
Still waters run gronk.
I know I'm weird. I know I'm right.
Well, I'd like to think that I'm fairly open about both being quite weird and dumber than I make out. I've already issued several. On-air apologies for just being completely wrong about some kind of statement I have made in relative confidence.
It turns out if you have to back up the things that you say, no one knows anything.
Mm. Mm-mm.
No.
Mm-mm. Yeah, well, look, more than anything else, I completely refuse to stand by almost any statement that comes out of my mouth.
You still feel good about the Beatles being bad?
Wow.
Oh, yeah. I still feel good about that.
That's not a... it's just so absurd.
I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that because of how Theo just immediately shut down. He just could not even process
what was happening. It's a stupid take. Like, I just can't get over this. It's fine to not like the Beatles, but the Beatles are bad is like, that's transcendent genius brain. Like,
oh, look.
That's the eighth level on the brain... meme.
It is an objectively incorrect opinion, which is amazing because very few of those exist.
They're hard to come by, aren't they?
They're rare.
Look, yeah. I'll be honest with you. I like to have a little fun with exaggeration.
Oh, fuck off. You don't get to just throw shit like that out into the void and then take it back.
How seriously, Ben, are you taking the statement that every Beatles song is worse than the worst LMFAO song?
I believe that to be your genuine opinion.
It's not quite. I was listening to Frank Ocean's radio station on Apple Music the other day, and he slid in a bit of like Rocky Raccoon, and I was like, all right, it's pretty good.
Oh, yeah, I see how this is. Some of your best friends are actually Beatles.
Yeah. Most of my... look, like I said at the time, the only member of the Beatles with a shred of artistic integrity and talent is Ringo Starr for his paintings. Mm. Ringo's beautiful MS Word paintings.
They will live on.
That's... Yeah, future civilizations, they're going to sift it all out, and they're going to be like, that's the only bit worth it.
That's what we're putting on the next Voyager.
That's
Ringo's,
true.
Ringo Starr paintings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotta love Ringo. Just love him. What a gentle, gentle soul.
Mm.
I assume. I don't really know that much about Ringo.
I view him as a gentle soul.
He seems fine. Yeah. Yeah. Got no problem with Ringo, I guess.
Write into the podcast if you do have a problem with Ringo Starr.
Yes.
Please send a self-addressed stamp envelope and $10.
If you have any John Lennon-style horrible revelations about Ringo Starr.
I like revelations as a word.
Well, yeah, that's when someone reveals something to you and you realize that it's bad.
Yes.
All right, so moving on from my worst take that I have ever expressed. Mm.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah. All right, we got a question here from patron Claire Patterson.
Hello, Claire.
Thank you for being a patron.
Hello, Claire.
Hello. G'day. Friend of the show, Claire Patterson, asks, what is the most fucked up animal in Australia, and why is it the bin chicken?
A two-parter.
So are you familiar with the bin chicken?
I am, purely through our mutual enemy of the show, Boner Man Incorporated.
Mm-hmm. I wish he'd disincorporate, to be honest.
Boom. Just liquidate Boner Man Incorporated. Sell off the assets.
I don't know what happened, but this is also a recurring theme on the show where everybody, friend and foe alike, has been described as friend of the show on this show, except for Marvin, who everybody has claimed is their enemy.
He's explicitly an enemy of the show.
He is the enemy. He is my own personal enemy.
There you go, Marvin.
I don't think the bin chicken is the most fucked up animal, though.
No, I don't think so either.
What's your take?
Well, cassowaries.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Very
okay.
Fucked up.
Cassowaries legitimately scare the shit out of me.
As well they should.
They are some real prehistoric type creatures going on right in our own backyard.
Yes.
I don't know if you've ever had the blessing of being in the same physical space as a cassowary.
Eliza. I don't think so. I don't think I've even seen one at a zoo. They're probably too dangerous to keep in zoos, actually.
Have you ever been like anywhere near an ostrich?
Yes.
So, yeah, you know how like you get near a bird and you're like, birds should not be this big.
Mm.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like I'm on record as being weirdly frightened of pretty much any size of bird.
Mm. Noted.
Yep. Like the last however many years that we kept chickens for, and me and them just had a respectful distance between us.
So what, you'd be like taking the girls out the backyard to feed the chickens or whatever, you'd just be like, whoa, don't move too quickly.
No, like that. Like we would
go get them, girls.
We would maintain our respectful distance, but you know how people just like pick chickens up and they're cool with them and everything? Like, I can't do that.
What's the thing? What are you worried is going to happen?
They feel like they're made out of like spider webs and sticky tape, you know?
They do feel very intangible.
They're very frail. And as soon as I put my hands near them, like I'm going to pick them up, they just hunch down and turn into these little balls. And they seem like they're not into it. And I don't want them to start flapping around, touching me with their talons.
Well, you gotta clamp the wings down. You clamp the wings, and then you put them under your arm like a football. Like, there's a whole thing. It's just like picking up a cat or a baby. There's a technique, you know.
I will not pick up a cat.
There's a whole thing. There's a whole thing, and I imagine that a lot of it is to do with approaching the bird with confidence. And I cannot do that, as I am scared.
Oh, you reckon the birds can smell your fear?
I can smell my fear.
In that case, you are going to get your ass kicked by a bird every single day of your life.
Yeah, which is why I just maintain that respectful distance.
You got to go into the backyard and square up and say, they should all be destroyed.
Yeah.
That's it.
I did actually hold that view about our chickens because they were murderers.
Yes.
Yeah, we put two other chickens in with them who both died under extremely suspicious circumstances.
Yeah, you can't do that.
What was suspicious about it was that the other chickens killed them.
That is suspicious.
Mm. Yes. They will gruesomely kill and eat each other. It is a thing. I have raised several batches of chickens because I had to go take care of my mom, and she was like living on in a rural, just a nice little house out in the woods in Florida. And they had chickens that were hatching at that point, and somebody had to watch the incubator. And that was me. And it was exactly like that scene in Jurassic Park with B.D. Wong, and he's, you know, there's like the egg hatching. And yeah, so all the chickens imprinted on me because I was the first thing that they saw. So I became their mother. And as a result, I know everything about chickens now. And have been covered in very small baby chickens for more hours than probably most other human beings who don't live on an actual farm. But yeah, no, that is how you tame a chicken and keep it from being just a complete psycho is you chase it around, pick it up, football it. If it's really nasty, you should wrap it in a towel and just stick them under your arm. And you keep them there for like 20 minutes and long enough for their tiny little bird brains to figure out that you're not going to eat them. And then you just let them go. Whoa. And I had to do this a couple times because we had a few roosters that were just jackasses. And
typical roosters.
I don't know. Mm. Like I really got to know them. Raising them from babies is like a whole thing because then you attach to them in a certain way. But they are terrifying. Like, chickens are objectively scary. They got the reptile face and the weird dragon feet.
They have ancient eyes. They look like they've seen a lot with those eyes.
Yes. Yeah. And then the bigger the bird gets, the more terrifying it is. So
yes.
I think the answer is probably that the worst animal in Australia would be a cassowary-sized ibis.
Agreed.
And
I believe it exists.
Terrifying image.
Old Hookbeak is real.
Big Benny.
Mm.
He's like all those towns that like have that one big fish that lives in like the river or the lake nearby or whatever.
Yes.
Old Tom, the 6 foot long catfish or whatever.
Yep.
That's the big ibis. It's somewhere.
It's out there.
Well, it lives on in our hearts at least.
Mm.
All right. So, hey. Good friend of the show, Theo, old Ayn Randy.
Mm.
He has a question. His question is, how do we get Australian game development luminary Marvin to shut the fuck up? Enemy of the show, Marvin.
I don't want to be...
Enemy of the show.
He won't. I mean, that's the answer to the question. It's, you can't. It's impossible.
I think that's a very defeatist attitude, Ben. you know, I don't agree.
You can't do it the normal way, because if you suggest to Marvin that, for example, he is mispronouncing a word, he will double down and post himself saying that word exactly like that.
Are you talking about
14 times a day?
Sponge or guillotine or any of the many words that he struggles with?
How do you mispronounce sponge?
Sponge.
How many ways?
Sponge.
He says sponge with a hard O.
Sponge.
Yes.
Mm.
He's wrong,
and he will not be dissuaded from it. I've been trying. Like, this is something this is a revelation that came up 2 years ago, and he will. It will not go away.
That's amazing.
Don't encourage him. It's awful, Marvin. If you're listening to this, you're a real piece of shit.
You know, Marvin has probably the largest problem glyphs tattoo in the world. He has. May we be martyred in space. as a back piece, I think. So at any point, I can activate that sigil remotely, and he will die.
In space?
So, yes.
Ideally.
In space. It'll be like that meme where people start spinning and then they take off into space. It will be that. So I just want Marvin to know that and watch his ass.
Mm.
Just watch out. There's also a question here from let me see if I'm saying this right. Marvin at Bonerman Inc. His question is, will Marvin ever shut the fuck up? I think we've established that it's not happening.
Not within our lifetime.
We've got another one here from friend of the show, Important Mail.
Oh, dear friend of the show.
Dear friend of the show. He asks, what's the deal with the blue guys in Avatar?
Smurfs.
James Cameron has the bends. he has nitrogen toxicity in his fucking brain, and he should be hunted down.
Spent a little too long on the wreck of the Titanic.
He absolutely did, and he came up too fast, and he made fucking Avatar, and I don't know. I'm still bitter about that. Like, if you go back and watch The Abyss, you get mad because we don't have that James Cameron anymore.
Hmm. I will also credit James Cameron with making probably the two strongest sequels to a film.
Yes.
That have ever been made in Terminator 2, a sequel to his own film.
Mm-hmm.
And then Aliens as a sequel to a Ridley Scott film. And
neither of which are superior to the original in the series, but both solid sequels.
Oh, I think you could absolutely argue, depending on what you like in a movie, that Aliens is superior to Aliens.
Oh, you couldn't. I mean, you could, but you'd be wrong to do so.
They are not even in the same genre. Like, I think that's an apples and oranges comparison.
True, and the apple is much better than the orange.
Oh my god, I'm going to fly out there and punch you in the face.
It'd be lovely to have a visitor.
Well, I would say that much like we were saying about George Miller with his Mad Max movies, Aliens is, at the very least, a really, really good expansion of the universe that was set out.
Absolutely. Oh, it's a great movie.
In the first one.
I love Aliens, but Alien is just schmick.
Look, Alien is great, but the problem is, if you had made a sequel to Alien that was, here's another spaceship, and the alien gets on board and we're doing the same movie, it would have sucked. It would have just been the same film with diminishing returns, and instead, James Cameron went, he suited his own strengths, and he went with, what if there were, like, 40,000 of the alien?
A good question.
Yeah. And we got to explore all of that.
I think also, in retrospect, I mean, there have been no other good alien films ever. So, no other director successfully entered an alien movie into the franchise. Like, not even Ridley Scott. Ridley Scott's editions are both fucking terrible, so...
Oh, it's what, the Prometheus and...
I've still not seen Covenant yet.
Yeah.
So no spoilers, please.
I haven't seen it yet either, but I'm just gonna say it sucks because whatever the other one was, I got so angry. I think, in terms of angriest I got at movies recently, Jurassic World, Alien Covenant, and then, or Prometheus, whatever the one that came out first was, Prometheus, and then Okja, I fucking hated. I got very mad online.
Yeah, I would say with the Alien movies that I get incredibly furious when someone tells me that they think the Joss Whedon one was a good entry.
It's so bad.
It's not good.
I personally, I love it, but it's garbage. It is indefensible shit.
Agreed.
There's a lot of individual elements that you are permitted to like about it, but as a whole, like, I'm contractually obligated to like any Ron Perlman performance.
Naturally, yes.
Except for his performance in fucking Pacific Rim, which was the worst single addition to any movie in the world.
Whoa, strong.
It sucks so much. Why did they do that? Why did they do that whole character? Every line he says is the fucking worst. It's fucking shit.
Well, Pacific Rim is not a great film in the first place, but it doesn't help when, I would say, roughly 96% of the dialogue in Pacific Rim is exposition.
Mm.
Thank you. You two are like the first people who have acknowledged to my face that Pacific Rim is not a fucking masterpiece.
I hate
it. Tired of people telling me Robot Jocks 2000 is a good movie. It's garbage.
I keep trying to go back and like rewatch it to see what people love about it, and it just makes me angrier every time.
It's shit.
It's just all, it's all really wooden performances where the only thing anyone is saying is like, and that's the reason that we need this kind of suit to fight this kind of monster, and we use this kind. Like, yeah, the entire fucking movie is exposition.
Yep.
And they've got fucking two Australian lead characters, neither of which are played by Australians, neither of which sound like Australians. Why did they do this?
Well, they also had the whole thing where, like, they went, hey, and everybody has a different kind of big robot jock suit, and they all have different characteristics and are piloted by different people, and we'll kind of knock all of them out in a 2-minute montage thing, and then we'll just have this one suit.
Yeah, the only interesting characters, the gimmick characters, are all just fucking annihilated in like a minute, and that leaves me with, I don't know, some blonde guy I can't tell apart from any of the other Chris's on screen recently.
Oh, why does anyone like that?
I keep confusing him for fucking someone else. Is his name Charlie
Hunnam?
Yeah, I keep thinking he's, like, a weirdly, like, just disheveled Channing Tatum.
I'll tell you what he is. He's a knockoff brand Chris Hemsworth. That's what he is.
Yeah.
He's in that Guy Ritchie King Arthur movie, I believe, that no one went to see.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, there's another story that needed to be told again.
But absolutely. This time with Mockney bloody gangsters.
That for me is right up there with like any time that I hear that like they're doing another, say, Robin Hood movie, I just go, oh, how many times are we going to tell this story?
Well, I think you don't have to pay for the rights for Robin Hood anymore, so a lot.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm. Every couple of years, like clockwork.
Yeah.
So that's what's up with the blue guys in Avatar.
Yeah, I hope that answered your question.
If you're wondering.
Yes, that's...
The answer is Pacific Rim, not that good.
Oh, wait, hang on. I have an anecdote related to that, which is... This is just something that's stuck in my mind and will probably stay with me until my death. For some reason, for the brief time that I was at university, for one of our like bad movie nights, someone was like, hey, let's watch the Avatar porn. And we were like, okay.
There's always that one guy.
It was me. but the thing that stuck with me from the 10 minutes that we watched is that they had blue body paint, right?
Yep.
Clearly water soluble because after a very short amount of time, their entire bodies were blue except for their dicks. Just these blue, fully blue porn performers with very bright, skin-colored dicks.
Excellent. And I assume some blue vaginas at that point as well.
Yeah, they were less affected, but it was primarily penile, this phenomenon.
Good lord.
That makes me think of a thing I saw on Twitter the other day, which was a
urinary tract infection? Because that's what it's making me
think
of.
Oh, God.
Well, I saw some stupid thing, some stupid product that was like, internal vajazzling, you know?
What?
Internal.
So, they were like these little like organic gel capsule things that are full of like glitter, and you can put them into your vagina, and then when you have sex, all your fluids will be glittery and sparkly?
I'm not against that.
This is the worst possible idea.
No, I'm on board.
It's so dangerous.
It's very bad. A lot of the information was about how it was okay because it was like very, very micro fine stuff because it was from like body paint.
That makes it worse.
Yes. Body paint, safe glitter kind of stuff. And it was like, and you know, you don't even have to be having sex to use it. You can just put one in there if you just feel like jazzing the place up every now and then.
The place being
like the inside
of your vagina.
Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I want it to be like, you know, when you crack open a rock and like the inside is just encrusted with quartz.
Oh, like a geode type deal.
I want a geode vagina. Yep. You know, that's just incredibly heavy and
very sharp.
And it makes like crunching noises when I walk. That's the ideal.
I would prefer something you put in there that operates more like a party popper.
Yank the
string and it just fires streamers and confetti out.
Yep.
Because no, that to me good. would be a lot more dramatic than just some kind of glittery fluids.
Yes, it's true.
Yeah.
Alternatively, don't do any of this and just have sex.
Just have some sex.
So you don't have to...
Just paint your dick blue like a normal person.
But use water-fast paint because you don't want to be caught out.
Yes, yes.
Only latex house paint.
Oh.
Something lead-based if possible.
Add a little bit more girth while you're at it. Why not? It's good.
Just layer it on there.
Yeah, you got to put a lot of coats on. That's the trick.
Yeah.
All right. And on that beautiful note, on that beautiful mental image, I think we might leave it there for our little bonus episode. Thank you again, Eliza, for being with us.
Thanks very much. This was weird.
most of them are. Most of these are.
I'm so glad that you hate Pacific Rim because I hate Pacific Rim.
Mm.
It's just so overrated.
It's a terrible film.
And I feel that I love kaiju and giant robots, and so I'm entitled to hate Pacific Rim because I saw it in good faith, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
My Australia-specific take on this is that Wolf Creek is incredibly overrated.
Okay.
All right.
I have not seen that.
Well, it was a big deal at the time because it's like an outback torture porn movie, I guess. Torture porn-type horror movie. So it was around that whole kind of Hostel Saw boom. But it was loosely based on the real life story of Ivan Milat, who murdered a bunch of backpackers out in the woods.
Like you do.
Yep. And they kind of transposed it to the outback. And it was tourists who get stuck out there with a kind of nice, friendly looking farmer kind of guy, which was enhanced by the fact that he was played by a guy who was known for children's television in Australia.
Ooh.
Mm. Who then murdered all these people in very drawn out, grisly ways. And it got a huge showing here and it was very, very acclaimed and people loved it. And my take was that it wasn't really any particular kind of advance on any existing horror stuff anyway. It was just the fact that it was in Australia.
Mm.
People were like, whoa, an Australian horror movie.
Isn't there an Australian cannibal? I've always kind of wondered why that didn't get a movie treatment. I think I read about him on Wikipedia. I can't remember his name, of course, but he's one of these. I think he lured like a series of people to the coast and then ate them.
Ooh.
And he did this like several times. I might be misremembering this. I'll have to look it up, but
all right.
That'd be
well.
Good.
We'll pass that around if we find it. All right, so there you go, folks. Pacific Rim, not that good. Wolf Creek, not that good. The Beatles, not that good.
Wow. Okay.
And now, now that everyone has agreed with all of these positions,
unbelievable.
We can put a pin in it. Well, thank you again for joining us.
Thanks very much for having me on. I really enjoyed it. And actually, I only got to talk about like half the stuff I wanted to. I didn't even get into Australian symbolist stuff, but no one knows what I'm talking about anyway.
We'll get you to come back on and talk about the stuff we couldn't get to. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
And goodbye.
Bye.